Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com.
Way to go, Walt.
I am your co-host, Walter DeRaglia of Hamilton's Big B Comics, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Owen, professor comic book history, Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And biggest fan of Walter DeRaglia, especially when he goofs up on can't remember where the podcast is going to be.
Yes, and I goofed up early there, like 3 seconds in. And I screwed up.
You know what? It's well done. That's good.
It's okay. You know what it is? I'm giddy. It's Wednesday.
Absolutely. That's right.
I've opened up boxes, Chris, of comics.
Yeah.
And it's all good stuff, and I can't contain my excitement.
You know, as we've always said, it's like a little birthday, like a little Christmas. Every Wednesday, you get boxes full of new stuff, and you don't know what's going to be inside.
It's like a
pinata, almost.
Exactly.
You don't want to beat them as much.
No, you don't, because then you damage them.
That's right, yeah.
Chris, as always, we're going to start the show with some highlights of stuff that's coming in today.
Absolutely.
Some new comics
absolutely,
coming in
yep.
today. Hey, some notables. Criminal, The Sinners, number one from Marvel.
Yes.
A lot of people loving the whole Criminal line.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, Criminal, the way Brubaker's doing Criminal, Ed Brubaker, who obviously writes
Criminal.
The Criminal line, they're doing it in like little mini arcs.
Right.
They're not doing, say, Criminal number one to number 50, and within there, you know, 5-part stories.
Right.
Basically, he's doing a story and then taking a hiatus, and then when he decides to do another story,
right.
probably better that way.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, rather than, you know, having to publish a, you know, a monthly book and having to be on all the time, this way he can, you know, gather himself, get his ideas together, and when he's ready, he'll publish them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And always worth the wait. And,
well, you know what? Ed Brubaker, as we've already talked about many times on this show, phenomenal writer. He's been working on Daredevil, and he's working on what's that other one he's working on?
Captain America.
How can I forget? Right, yes. Captain America. And of course, he does all these really cool crime noir graphic novels.
Yes,
that's just fantastic. So you know what? If you're a fan of Brubaker, or if you're a fan of crime noir, go out and check it out.
Check it out today,
for sure.
Batman and Robin number 5 coming out from DC today.
Awesome!
Huge! Yep. It's outselling Batman, like the
Is it really?
Batman.
That's crazy.
At our shop, anyway.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
at most shops. Too.
Yeah.
That's probably something to do with Grant Morrison and, you know, Frank Quietly.
Yep,
and,
for
and
sure.
That whole dynamic there. But it's a new series, and it's very popular, and it's hitting the stage.
Well,
today.
You know, Frank Quietly is an amazing artist. Grant Morrison, an amazing writer, so really.
Still don't like what he did to Batman, by the way.
I know,
point.
You know what? A lot of people had problems with that whole Final Crisis storyline and with what happened to Batman. And you know, so I can kind of understand where you're coming from with that. But, you know, love him or hate him, Grant Morrison manages to keep people interested
in
the medium.
That's right. Oh, also from DC today, Warlord number 7. Now, do you remember the Mike Grell Warlord? Was that late 70s?
I do remember.
80s?
And you know what? It had a long run.
It
so
did.
So clearly people liked it.
Yes.
And oddly enough, my favorite, Power Girl, even made appearances in Warlord.
Yes.
Because for a time, they thought that she was the daughter of Arion, who was from Atlantis, and there was some sort of Warlord sort of thing connection going on there as well.
Right.
And but you know what,
Power Girl made an appearance.
Yeah, I know. Would you can you believe it? She had a really terrible costume too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but anyway, so Warlord. So how's that selling?
I don't number 7. You know what? I can't really. Did Power Girl did she make an appearance in Twin Peaks?
No, but she should have.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that was terrible. I was late on that
you know,
and everything.
But
the
you know what?
Was off.
You know what? Which made it funnier to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Warlord, you know, I mean, obviously it's not in our top 10 or anybody's top 10 probably. but the thing, though, is I guess why I pointed it out today is Mike Grell, who's talented, obviously.
Yes.
Author.
He's very, very good at drawing people with goatees.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I mean, obviously, he's gone back to the well.
Yes,
and
yes.
DC's let him go back to the well. So,
right.
You know, I don't know if I prefer him, I guess, creating something. I get, you know what?
Well,
they
you know what?
They think Warlord still has something in the tank and
well,
they're coming out with it. So.
Clearly, they're mistaken because Warlord has nothing in the tank.
Right,
yeah.
Right. All right, switching over from... We mentioned this last week, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 29...
That's awesome.
...is out today.
Yep.
29 issues, as I mentioned quickly last week. there will be about 40 issues in season 8.
Yeah.
And Joss Whedon has promised a season 9.
Not 40 issues up to like finishing season 8.
Yeah, like not, there'll not be another 11 issues after this issue.
Not 40 issues just in season 8.
Season 8 had 40 issues. We'll have Buffy. Yeah, let me draw a picture for you here.
Okay. Okay,
Buffy
I'm
the Vampire Slayer season 8.
Yes.
Is 40 issues long.
Really? It's actually 40 issues long?
Right.
Wow, okay. That seems awful long.
That's what it said.
Okay, I believe you.
And then season 9 will come out after.
Right, okay, fair enough.
So that is a small smattering of stuff hitting the stands today.
And okay, well, wait, before we talk, I want to just talk a little bit about, you in the retail industry, obviously. How has the sales of the wedding of Archie been going? Because I'm kind of curious about that.
Very, very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
I know it's not this week. I know it's sort of like an ongoing kind of thing.
Right.
But I figure if we're talking about new releases and, ongoing things.
Very, very well. And we noticed, too, that, obviously from the newspapers, people came in and they want that issue.
Right.
But we were surprised, pleasantly surprised with the percentage of those people that ended up calling back and saying, hey, I'd like to subscribe to Archie as a monthly.
Really?
Yeah.
So, that's great.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, okay, cool.
I think... there was a store in Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah, Canadian, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're called Happy Harbor. They're a former Schuster winner. They had an Archie wedding at their store.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they had actors hired and everything like that, and they had a lot of media coverage, so kudos to them for coming up with that.
Did Big B do anything?
We sold some Archie comics. That's about it.
Wait to jump on that.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. As always, please visit your shops, the local comic shops. They pick up all the goodies that are coming out today. Chris, industry news. We always jump to industry news after the new comics, and I have some tidbits. Oh, speaking of Archie.
Yes.
So Archie Comics, this will lead the industry news today. Archie Comics signs with CCA, which is a creative artists agency, which is... it's like a Tinseltown agency that represents and markets celebrities and so on and so forth. They have Oprah Winfrey, Brad Pitt, LeBron James, George Clooney, Will Smith.
Oh, like a celebrity agency.
I guess so. Okay. Yeah. So Archie Comics publication has signed on with this agency.
Really? I didn't realize that Archie was a celebrity.
Well, apparently he is.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Because this agency, what they're going to try to do, I guess, is line up some movie deals, some merchandising deals. They're going to try to utilize the Archie franchise.
Right, right.
I guess the most profitable way possible.
Right.
For Archie Comics.
Will there be any guest signings or guest appearances of Archie anywhere?
I don't know, but I have an idea. We're going to do a wedding at the store.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Archie does have other franchises like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes.
They've resurrected Super Duck.
I have no idea what that is.
And Cosmo the Merry Martian. These are 50s characters.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What this smells of, and it doesn't smell of it, what this is Archie reacting to... Disney.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Warner Brothers reacted to Disney and so on and so forth. So this is people
so they're really
putting
try.
Properties into place
yeah.
For some sort of movies.
Yeah, they're something. Really going to try to push the whole Archie franchise.
Yes.
Yes. And you know what? We should have seen it coming, really.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this has long been delayed. All these kind of movie property deals and Archie deals and things. This should have happened 10
years
ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah,
you're right. Now... this CCA company, they've apparently helped Hasbro put into development movies like...
G.I. Joe?
No. Oh. Stretch Armstrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Battleship.
Hold on. Are you trying to tell me that there's going to be a Battleship, the board game?
The board game.
They're going to make a movie out of Battleship.
Yes.
Is it going to be called Battleship?
I don't know. I think so. But you know what I can see?
What's that?
Miss. That's what I can see.
You sank my battleship.
No, I doubt that.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
Wait, hold on. Does that mean it's going to be like an operation game? And you know, I can't wait for the Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Hungry Hippo, yeah.
The movie.
Yeah. No.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos, the movie.
You know what's going to top it all off?
Yeah.
Kerplunk.
It'd be awesome if it was like 2 hours of just two guys playing Kerplunk.
Stare. Remember the Good, the Bad, the Ugly with the eyes staring in the graveyard scene? You know, and like staring at each other.
Yeah.
Tuco doesn't have any bullets in his gun, but he doesn't know it.
That's right. It'd be 2 hours of that.
Yes.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yes, okay. But imagine the tension.
Oh, boy.
As you're pulling out that stick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Jim Shooter.
Jim Shooter, who was famous for creating comic companies like Defiant and Valiant, and he was actually editor-in-chief of Marvel for many years.
That's right.
And he wrote for DC. He wrote the, Legion of Superheroes.
Yes, yes.
You know, he was like 16 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also frequents the Big B comic bins at comic conventions. He does.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
He'll come into the bins and he'll look for some old work that he
did. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We've caught him a couple times.
You know what's the most striking thing about him is he's very tall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently, the vibe is, anyway, from comicbookdaily.com, is that Valiant Entertainment will be suing him.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So apparently. It's one of these... who owns the properties? Because Shooter's now working with Dark Horse on stuff, bringing over Solar, Magnus, Turok, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, right, right.
And they used to be Gold Key Dell properties,
yeah.
which I think somebody at Valiant
acquired.
Yeah. And now there's questions over who gets what.
Right,
and so on and so
right,
forth.
Right.
So,
Well, I wonder if the whole Magnus and Magnus Robot Fighter and Solar and those characters, I wonder if they're in some sort of public domain kind of thing, and that's how Valiant got them. And
yeah, I don't think they are. I think back in that day, I think Valiant just got them cheap because they weren't being used.
Right,
and,
right, okay.
But now, because that stuff is, you know, Solar movies coming, you know.
Well, yeah, of course.
And Magnus and
yeah.
so on.
I heard George Lucas wants to do the next Magnus movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard Jill Gerard is going to be the lead. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so we'll keep you up to date on that as it happens. What else do we have? Oh, Bloom County. Do you remember Bloom County?
I do. You know, Opus the Penguin. The Penguin, yeah. And Bill the Cat, was it?
Yeah, Bill the Cat.
I was going to say Fritz the Cat, but that's a completely other cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're launching a big PR blitz over the fact that they're doing libraries. You know, like the Peanuts libraries and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
They're finally coming out into some sort of collected volumes
and
stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cutting edge, on the forefront of that political humor.
Oh, absolutely,
back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't think... Honestly, I think it paved the way for Calvin and Hobbes. And,
yeah, you know, it was political in a sense that, you know, as a kid, it was still funny, but an adult, it was funnier.
Yes.
You know, because
yes.
there was underlying tones. A very well-written comic strip, absolutely.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay. A WizKids update. So NECA is acquired the WizKids
Right. Now Wiz, for our listeners that don't know... WizKids is the company that does the HeroClix toys, or at least they were the ones that did the HeroClix.
Yes.
And last week, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were talking about NECA possibly buying out WizKids.
Right. So they have bought out WizKids. The first thing that they're doing is a Marvel HeroClix called the Hammer of Thor.
Oh, cool.
Yes. I think one of the captions is, "Don't hurt him, Hammer."
That's horrible. That is absolutely horrible.
Well. The thing is, they are going to sell direct. They're going to try with this one to sell direct to stores.
Oh, so I'm surprised you didn't come up with a slogan like, "It's Hammer Time" or something like that.
Okay, Chris, that's even worse than that. Oh, okay.
So, wait,
hold
so,
on. Is this thing on? Hold on, is this on? Hello.
Is anybody listening out there? And if you are listening and you have better Thor jokes, you're more than welcome to email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox mailbox at bigbcomics.com.
Excellent recovery.
Did you like that? Yeah,
yes.
That's good. By the way, so with this Thor set
mm-hmm.
and I'm really stifling the chance to have all these different Thor kind of jokes. But anyways,
okay, leave it till next week.
All right, fine.
All right.
I just have one question though. Go. Is the Absorbing Man going to be one of the characters in the Thor set? Do we know
The Thor set? I'm sure he will be.
All right, fair enough.
Okay. Crayola.
Yes.
Marvel license.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's happy news for you, I know.
Because you know, Lord knows I love to color.
Now, so Crayola's getting licenses for Marvel Studios characters only. So not Spider-Man and stuff, but Iron Man, Thor, Avengers, Captain America, that kind of stuff, right? And they're going to be using them in stuff like coloring books. And posters and markers. And finger paints.
Yeah, so now we can have like, you know, Captain America blue and Spider-Man red.
It'd be beautiful. So it's good to see. It's good to see that Crayola has picked it up.
Yep, you know what? There's clearly a lack of material out there. I remember when I was a kid, I had a Marvel activity book and had like coloring and puzzles and stuff like that. And you know, it's hard to find that kind of stuff these days.
I know, you're right. I'm going to end industry news on Boom Studios.
Yeah.
Now, they have, I guess before the Disney deal, they acquired rights to publish the Ducks, the Duck books, and the Mouse books.
Disney Ducks. Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Donald Duck, yeah, Mickey Mouse, Uncle Scrooge, and stuff like that. So they are coming out. And it's been announced that they will be 32-page formats priced at $2.99.
Right, right. With the Disney Ducks, though, I mean, like, really, like, is that going to be enough of a price break at even at $2.99? Granted, they used to be like $8.99 before or something like that. There was something ridiculous. But granted, you know, is that going to be low enough for kids?
Well, I hope so. I don't know, because things like Johnny DC and Sonic the Hedgehog, this is the market that they want to compete with.
Right.
And those are priced, I believe, at $2.25.
Right.
US. So I was hoping that they would be lower, let's say $2.50 at least.
Right, right.
But it's good to see that they're moving in the right direction
with
the Disney stuff. They did studies on recognition, brand recognition with the kids.
Right, right.
And tons of, I guess, something like 80% of them knew who Mickey Mouse was, knew who Donald Duck was. So Boom thought it was a good starting point.
Well, you know, this really, okay, I completely agree, and this is a good segue into our feature, which is talking about, what were you going to say?
What did you want to talk
about? I was going to talk about the viability of children's comics in today's market.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, and, sorry, I thought you looked like you were about to say something else. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
That's
you.
That's okay.
Okay. And I think that, you know, getting kids involved in comics is a great thing to do only for a number of reasons. I spent many years working in comic book stores, and for a lot of times, mothers and fathers would come in and say, "Well, you know, comics are the only thing I can get my kids to read." And I think that for so many reasons, it's important to get people reading, no matter what it is.
But there's still a stigma with, you know, educators and with parents per se about comic books not being literature.
Right.
But the good news is there's been so much media and so much studies and so much positive press on the fact that, hey, it is reading. Hey,
right.
The kids are reading. They are, you know, following storylines. They are completing something.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, those barriers, I think, are slowly being knocked down, but there still is a cultural, social stigma to the fact that you know, my son should be reading, you know, Dickens,
right, Count of Monte Cristo,
right, or something like that, or, you know, maybe not Dickens, but Nancy Drew, or something, Hardy Boys, or something like that.
Or maybe like, you know, Mrs. Brisby and the Rats of Nim, or something, Secret of Nim, or whatever it's called.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think that getting kids involved in comics and go involved in graphic literature is what it really, we're coming to that point.
Right.
I think it's a fantastic idea. Especially when you've got volumes such as the Bone series, which, you know, parents and kids alike love it, and anything that can, you know, the Teen Titans or the Tiny Titans, things like that, are really great ideas for getting kids involved in reading.
Now, there's danger there, and like Bone is a great example because it's new,
right?
But what happens? I think we've mentioned this before too. Is sometimes what happens with parents is, they will instill their likes on their kids
absolutely
forcibly, yeah. And the kids may not be interested in it. So just because they're comics doesn't mean it's going to work.
No, absolutely.
You know, my kid, I mean, you couldn't get him to read a Thor,
right?
I loved reading Thor when I was a kid, But, you know, he likes Sonic.
Right.
He likes Bone. He likes stuff like that. So you got to, you have to, as a parent, be flexible enough to realize that maybe the stuff that you like isn't the stuff that they're going to like. But how much times have you seen when you were younger, I'm going to get my boy Disney or my girl Disney or something like that.
Absolutely.
Or I really loved Scooby when I was a kid.
Well, you know, and case in point, my parents are a little bit older, so they didn't understand the whole comic book thing. My mom actually, she said she used to read Wonder Woman, things like that. But, you know, my dad was certainly, I came from more of a sports family, so to read comic books was like, what are you doing? Why aren't you outside playing sports? Or why aren't you collecting hockey cards?
Right.
I'd be collecting Star Wars cards. I was collecting like comic books and things like that. So
what'd you tell him? Dad, I'm preparing myself for my future career.
That's right. If only he knew that.
Yes.
But, I still played sports and I still, collected hockey cards, but I did the other stuff as well, right? And I agree with what you're saying. As a kid, you want to be able to find your own niche. You want to be able to find what interests you.
And
when you can do that, that's fantastic.
But the problem here is times have changed. And when you and I were 10, 11 years old, we had the power to walk into a corner store on our own with pop bottle money or with milk money or something like that.
Yes.
And make that decision on our own.
Yes.
We're not getting any 11-year-old kids walking into the store by themselves.
No, because
parents are coming with them, and they're always involved in the decision.
Yes. Well, and, unfortunately, comics are too expensive these days.
Yes.
For little kids.
Yes.
I mean, you hit the money right on the head when you said pop bottle money. I remember taking back all kinds of pop bottles to go to the store.
Milk jugs.
Yes, and, I would buy my Spider-Man or I would buy my Richie Rich or whatever it happened to be. And, even when I was doing it at a little bit of a later age, I think they were like 75 cents at the time or 50 cents at the time.
Right.
And I thought, man, like, how many more pop bottles am I going to have to do to get one more comic, right?
I got to steal that kid's lunch money again.
No, I never did that.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But it was expensive then, and it's even more expensive now, unfortunately.
All right. Let's have a quick look then. Let's have a quick look at the publishers and see if they're doing stuff right.
Right.
Okay, let's start with DC, because I like what DC is doing.
Absolutely.
Their DC Johnny
is fantastic.
Is priced at $225.
Yep.
And it's got properties. They're not trying to shove an old Batman down the kids' throats.
No.
They're modifying everything for the little guys. Like you said, the Tiny Titans is working.
Well, Tiny Titans, and that's by, I have to give that a plug to my friend Art Balthazar, who's the artist on that book. And he's a really great artist, and he has a style that fits for the times.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes stories that are fun, and there's never any fighting, but they always come up with goofy storylines like, hey, we have to go find my skateboard or something like that.
Yes,
and they're still using their powers, they're still having fun, but there's nobody fighting, there's no, so these stories for comics and kids can still be made so that they're exciting and that they're fun, mm-hmm. and yet they're violence-free.
Right. And they're also, DC is also paying homage to the old library of Warner Brothers stuff, coming out with Bugs and Daffy, Looney Tunes stuff. They're producing Scooby-Doo stuff, so they're going right across the board.
Well, and especially with the Scooby-Doo stuff, I mean, really, like this is an institution that's been around since the 60s.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo is one of those things where the parents didn't have to get the kids to like.
No, absolutely not.
Because I'll give you the generation gap between me and my kids. It's I like the Flintstones, they like the Simpsons, right?
Right.
So I go, hey, read the Flintstones, or they go, what the heck is this? And they'd rather watch the Simpsons, right? So okay, DC gets the passing grade.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Now, Marvel has Marvel Adventures, which they're not doing too badly with, and every once in a while they'll come out with a Marvel Mini Marvels or something like that. It was meant to be more geared towards kids.
Right.
However, with the Mini Marvels series, I find that most of the readership is adults who are buying it because they find it funny that their favorite heroes are now put as little kids.
Right.
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 The Marvel Adventures, I think, is a little bit just a little bit more adult than the
DC Johnny. Not aimed at the 6 and 7 and 8 year olds.
No, it's aimed at like the 10 year olds. molds.
Yes.
And it's kind of hard to find their niche because they're too young for adults and too old for the 6 year olds.
I can't put my finger on it either, but look, sounds like Marvel's just missing by a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have the products. Yeah. They have all the little digest, the Marvel Adventure Digest. You know, they have Marvel Adventure Avengers, yes, and Spider-Man. Yes.
And Runaways and things like that. Yeah.
Runaways. But like you said, I think they're skewing it just that preteen thing. Yeah. Whereas I think DC's hitting it better on that initial reader crowd.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Right. You know, the good thing about Marvel Adventures, though, is that it does introduce characters that are part of the Marvel, you know, canon, I'll call it.
Yes.
So you get Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and Daredevil and all those Avengers and Captain, yes, America, those guys. And so they're introducing the great characters, yes, to a younger readership,
right.
I think, in hoping that they're going to end up liking what it is later on.
Right, right. You know what? The kids grew up fast today, and I think you know, that 12-year-old, he's already reading advanced stuff.
Exactly.
If he's into,
exactly,
comics, yeah, he's reading the mainline stuff.
Absolutely. Right? You know, and you know what? Even when, I mean, granted, the kids, the comics are a little more more mature than when we were younger. Because, mm-hmm, when we were reading them, it was, you know, I would have no problem giving a comic that I read in the 70s to an 8-year-old, yeah, or a 6-year-old, right, even, really. But now,
you
got to be really careful, right? Because, right, of the language, right, or because of the graphic, you know, style of it. But certainly, the comics today, like you said, the Marvel ones are a little bit hard to find their niche.
Right. So I put DC ahead of Marvel.
Yeah.
And then, excuse me. After that, I mean, you have independence kind of ruling.
Yeah.
Bone is an industry unto itself.
Yes.
They did very well with coming out with Rose, which was like a prequel to Bone.
Yes.
That was an oversized graphic novel, and now they've made it fit into the whole Bone storyline,
right,
almost,
right,
calling it like Volume 10.
Right, 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 right.
Like a prequel. So, yeah. I mean, that's going on strong. The problem with that is it's very finite. It's, yes, you know, you have your Bone, yep, set, and yep, that's it. Well, there's nothing continual coming out.
And certainly, I mean, and that, the color ones are being produced by Scholastic, and,
right,
they've done a great job in,
yeah,
bringing those
done
out.
Right.
But they're done, yeah, and it, certainly if you buy the, like, the Bible, I'll call it, of,
yeah,
Bone.
The big one.
The big one, that's done. Like, you, right, know, you get everything all at once.
Right. Other ones, you know what, it escapes me now who's producing SpongeBob. Tokyo Pop, maybe? No,
I forgot. Nickelodeon.
Yeah, that does well. Excuse me. That does well at the shop. SpongeBob. And, yeah, again, SpongeBob fits into what I was talking about earlier. The kids love SpongeBob.
Yes.
The parents really don't understand SpongeBob.
Right, right, right.
You know? Even though I've watched a few SpongeBob episodes, they are hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're great. Yeah. You know, I actually saw one with David Hasselhoff.
He did?
Yeah. I think it was the movie. It might have been the movie.
Okay.
And of course, we can't disregard Archie.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you know, again,
now Archie really doesn't go after that. I mean, they got little Archie, but I think that misses. I think Archie,
yeah,
Archie's hitting with the teens and the young, like the adults, the nostalgia.
Archie's hitting with the kids that are meant to be reading the Marvel Adventures.
Yes.
Right? That sort of 8-year-old kind of era. It's fun, it's funny. The parents love it because they know Archie. Nothing's,
yes,
changed with Archie,
no,
over the past,
no,
50 years. Geez, maybe even longer than that, 60 years. So people understand what Archie's all about. So parents at the supermarket, at the variety store, can pick up an Archie's Digest or an Archie comic and know what they're going to get and give it to their kids without worrying about what's going to be inside of it.
Right, right. Now, Archie, like, I still don't think Archie's hitting that young crowd properly. And I think it's the nature of Archie, right? Archie's,
right,
a adolescence about girls,
yes,
boys,
yes,
you know, boyfriend girlfriend situations,
yep, yep.
And you're not gonna get a kid. That's why they created Little Archie, but I don't think Little Archie's working as well.
Well, but you know what? The beauty about Archie is that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the preteens buying Teen Beat magazine. Like, you always look forward towards,
right,
we,
right,
hey, this is what it's gonna be like when I'm, you,
right,
know.
I'm more talking about the 7-8-year-olds. I think the 10-year-olds, you're right.
Yeah.
But now we'll end it with, what do you think the chances of Boom succeeding with these Disney properties?
You know, the problem with Disney properties is that, yes, they are timeless. However, I don't know how marketable they are these days.
Right.
You,
right,
know, I think with the advent of SpongeBob SquarePants,
yeah,
pants.
Yeah, will Disney allow such,
yeah,
a change that in order to make them current?
Yes, exactly.
You know?
And you've got, you know, Dora the Explorer and SpongeBob,
yep,
and all these other sort of really current cartoons out there. I don't know if kids are really all that interested in the old time Disney characters.
Yeah.
Sure, they're interested in going to Disney World, but I don't know about actual characters.
Right. Well, remains to be seen. I mean, we wish them luck. We'll bring a few in and we'll check. We'll see how they go.
Absolutely. Well, you know, once again, we've run out of time, so we'd like to say thanks a lot for listening. Go out and support your local comic book shop. Read lots of graphic novels and comics. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day.
See you next week.